east to west, Triple C is the best. Na 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 na.
Welcome back to Triple C Camps Partnering with Parents. I'm your host, Melissa Laurie. Back with us today is H. Rothenberg sharing about the magic of riding the bus to camp.
We're back! Hooray!
You used to drive the Barracks Road bus.
I did.
That leads me to believe that you are a fan of the bus.
I'm a fan of the bus. I'm a fan of camp songs. I'm a fan of activities on the bus. I'm a fan of seeing the parents at the bus. I'm a fan of the bus captains who get to interact and spend that extra time with the kids. And the biggest thing that I've heard from bus captains over the last 20 years is not only do they have their own group of 15, 17, 18 kids with their co-counselor that they get to know, but they get to know all the Fashion Square kids, or they get to know all the Pantop kids. And that's pretty cool, you know, to just increase their net of contacts, of connections, of impact. And when you have staff members who say that was one of their favorite parts of camp, we know things are going pretty well, because that's an extra. And in those days, we weren't using the county buses. We used to own 7 buses, and now we own 3. And we partner with the county now, whereas in those days, we did it all by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so none of our buses were air conditioned. And all the years that I was a bus driver, I think we just had 1 bus captain on the buses. And now we like to have 2 bus captains on the buses. We find that to be really beneficial to have 2 bus captains. And it's really supportive to the campers and to the bus driver. So when families come out to camp for a tour, we want their child to have the opportunity to get on a bus. Because a lot of kids, maybe they go to a private school or even at a public school, they don't take the bus to school, or maybe they don't go to school at all. We want them to have the opportunity to have that experience before it actually happens. The more comfortable they get ahead of time, the more comfortable they're going to be when the actual bus ride comes. Now, when the morning of the bus comes, we tell the families be on time. There's no reason to be early, because the buses are coming and going on a very specific schedule. There will be a staff member standing outside of the bus with a notebook with their child's name on it. And it's best for the child, if the parent wants to come with them, they can. But for the child to walk up, and for the child to give their first and last name to the bus captain, and the parent can come over and say hello and meet the bus captain. But we want it to be the child's experience. Parents had their experience when they went to camp. It's really important, or maybe they didn't, and they're giving their child the experience. But it is really important for the kids to have this experience in the morning, because in the afternoon, when the kids go to get on the bus, the parents aren't going to be there with them. So it's really important that the kids get practice in coming up to the door to the bus, saying their first and last name, the bus captain checking them in, and then there's another staff member on the bus who helps them find a seat. So both of these staff members are going to introduce themselves to your child on the first day. They're going to give them a high five. They're going to be excited to see them. When they get up and on the bus captain on the bus is going to be excited to see them. And they're going to be placed by a child of like grade and possible gender, but definitely like grade. And so the bus captains want them to be organized with the youngest children in the front, the middle-aged children in the middle, our oldest children in the back. We do sit 3 to a seat, so it's a full bus. However, the bus captain sits about a third of the way to the back. The other one sits about a third of the way from the front. So they're really dispersed amongst the bus, and they are running bus activities safely on the bus as we drive to and from camp.
So it sounds like the camp day really starts at that bus drop-off.
I love the way you say that. The camp starts when you get on the bus.
Great.
Even if you're there 10 minutes before the bus leaves, there's going to be interactions. There's going to be interactions with the bus counselor. There's going to be interactions with the other kids on the bus. If a parent within the bus window wants to drop off and make their way and leave and go to work, they're more than welcome to do so. They do not need to stay and wait for the bus to leave. We've got it. We're going to take care of them, and we're going to make sure that they make it a great camp day.
It makes me want to ride the bus.
Well, I'll tell you, it is a fun time. I did it for 8 years, and while I was driving the buses in the morning, Miss Libby was running our morning staff meetings, which also was really more my job than hers. So I found it difficult in those days to be in 2 places at one time.
Yeah, you couldn't do it yet.
So after 8 years, I came off the road, and I was just back at camp. And then over the years, every once in a while, I'd go visit different bus stops And so that's a lot of fun. But Barracks Road has got a special spot in my heart. But the reason that I did Barracks Road was because I got to be, we have two buses at Barracks Road. And in the mornings, I would drive the second bus, but I would get there before, just before the first bus, sure. the campers were arriving. And so it was a chance for me to see, you know, about 120, 130 campers, but also their parents every day at the bus in the mornings and in the afternoons.
Because we like to partner with parents.
That's it. And I'll tell you, by being there and being in front of them, it's a lot easier for them. Oh, I just wanted to let you know, or sure. I just wanted to ask you this, that, or the other. So it was really a customer service thing, especially in our first several years. And I would say, at this point, too, we always say to family, please put it in writing. Please email it to us. If it's just a casual policy question, of course, happy to answer that. But like if they want their child to be they're going to be dropped off late, or they're going to pick them up early, or so they're going to miss a camp day. We ask them to document that for us, as sure. we do for all of our campers, so that we can have all that information in master files. It just helps with everybody's safety and make sure for accountability.
All right. Well, I'm excited for Jude to take the bus.
Well, here's what could wind up happening from time to time is that when Ryan leaves camp, Ryan's going to be driving one of the buses this summer. Mm-hmm. When Ryan leaves, Jude might leave out of camp with him, go with him to pick kids up at right. his bus stop, and then ride back with the kids. And as long as there's enough space on the bus and he's already had breakfast and he's ready, uh-huh. he's handled his chores and his responsibilities at the house.
Right.
Because I'll tell you, when Ryan was 5, 6, 7 years old, that's what he did with me. He wanted to ride the bus and see more kids and be interactive. And so he would help me pre-trip the bus. We would check the oil. We would check the tires. We would check the lights, you know, all the things that needed to be done. He'd ride into town with me. He'd visit with all of his friends as kids are getting on the bus in the morning and socialize. We would drive to camp. He'd get to sing all the songs and be part of all the games and activities. And then in the afternoon, if he wanted to, usually he didn't do two ways in one day. It was either in the morning or in the afternoon, as long as there was space.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to be, just like anybody else, he had to be checked onto the bus if he was riding it. He had to be checked off the bus if he was riding it. Same rules
sure.
apply.
Absolutely.
So I foresee Jude doing some of those things.
I would think so as well. Ryan was just reminiscing about some of those memories, riding the bus with you in the morning or the afternoon, and then having some special dad time. And he had some fond memories.
Quality.
That he was sharing. Yeah.
It's amazing. Nice. It's amazing that he's now 21, 6'5".
Right. Driving the bus.
That's driving the bus. He's a bit of a different human being.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate.
Absolutely. Okay. So we're on the bus. We get dropped off at camp.
Boy.
Super excited.
How do I know where to go?
What's going to happen? There are 300 other kids here.
No doubt. You know, it's so important is the safety of the children. And that's why we check them on when they get onto the bus. When they get off the bus at camp, actually even before they get off the bus, they're welcomed by a director, comes onto their bus, welcomes them to camp, reminds them where to go. Even if they're still not sure, as they get off, we have 4 to 6 staff members who are specialists, like our sports specialists and arts and crafts specialists, nature, drama, music. All these specialists come to the buses to help each child make sure they get connected with their counselor in that first moment of their arrival. So they have all these people who are super excited to see them and help them get to the right place. So it's a little bit for a moment. It's a little bit chaotic if they don't know exactly where to go. But on Tuesday morning, everybody gets off the bus and they don't even need to be told. And as long as they were at camp on Monday, they know exactly where to go. Now, all those same staff members welcome the kids to camp every day, but they don't need to tell them where to go. So they get off the bus and they talk to the sports specialist or the arts and crafts specialist, and they start building relationships with these other staff people. And so, again, it's very intentional that we put these awesome, fun, experienced staffers in front of the kids first thing in the morning as they get off the bus, as they're making their way to their cabin group where they're going to check in with their counselor, which is done by attendance, and then they're going to reconnect with their other counselor and the rest of the kids in their group and play until we have morning flag ceremony. So there's some of that downtime for anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes as the buses are coming in that the campers will be with the campers in their group and one of their counselors as the other counselors checking kids in. And sometimes campers help with that process as well. You know, where to put your bag, where the bathrooms are. Some of that initial stuff is fantastic for returning campers to help first year or first day campers. And it's a great leadership opportunity for those returning campers. So they'll hang out with a counselor who's checking the campers in. They'll help them find where to put their gear down, where the bathrooms are, and where to reconnect with the rest of the group. And then we have morning opening, which includes flag raising ceremony.
That was a cliffhanger. Tell me about morning opening.
Well, at the morning opening, we learn about what's happening that day. We hear about rules and regs and policies and procedures of camp. We get the opportunity to not just know who the camp directors are, but who all the counselors are. We learn from the camp directors that the most important thing at camp is safety and that everybody wants to have fun. We go around camp with buddies. We learn about the camp animals. We hear a little bit about how important water and sunscreen are and how that's part of our safety. So we talk about all those types of things. And then one group comes forward and raises the American flag in front of the entire camp. Everybody stands up. We have bugle calls that we use, and we raise the American flag. We get dismissed to morning snack. And during morning snack or our first activity, especially on a Monday, our counselors will play a name game, and we get not just morning snack, but we get to learn about each other and the kids that we're going to be spending the week with. So all of that is an intentional part of our camp strategy to make sure that kids are comfortable before they even get on the bus or before their parents are even dropping them off at camp. You know, it's all part of the before camp communications, the first day intentionality of the arrival experience, the actual arrival at camp, the connection with your own group, the first programs and activities that we do. That first half of day experience is the most critical in a camper's life, to make sure that they're engaged, they're involved, they're bought in. And generally speaking, if we have 15, 17, 18 campers in a group, if somebody's not, we know it very quickly. It's very rare at Triple C that we have campers who are not engaged with what we're doing. And so if somebody's uncomfortable or unsure, we want to give that some appropriate attention so we can support them having a great experience.
That sounds like you're really looking out for every individual kid and making sure everyone's safe and having a good time. That makes me feel better as a mom.
And you're wearing all these multiple hats now. You know, you're going to be this mom to start of one going to camp, but you're going to have two others observing camp.
Sure.
And you're going to get the opportunity to influence and impact these staff members who will be our frontline staff working with the kids the way Libby and I have. And so we are just tickled for this opportunity for you and Max to support our staff and our camp family the way that that we have over the last 20 years. It's going to be really special.
Yeah, I love that. We are excited and tickled as well to have that opportunity. And
we're so nerdy, you and me. We're tickled.
Right? I know. I love it. I should get some glasses for next time. Maybe Erin, I can borrow her glasses. Ba-dum-bum. Anyway.
Erin just started wearing glasses for the first time in her life.
That's right. She's doing it very well.
At the ripe old age of 27.
Right. Oh,
it's all good. I just want all you people out there in podcast land, and Mr. H just turned 50, still not wearing glasses. Just saying, shout out.
That's right. Big shout out. 35-year-old Melissa, no glasses either.
Well, I wasn't gonna name your age. I'll take the high five.
I had to think about it for a minute, how old I am.
Melissa, I love that blog post that you put up, sharing more about yourself and the family and getting to see the kids in the video that you put up and your passions as a child. And the thing that I took away from that, where you mentioned that you were the last child of the play outside generation. So to
speak. I really was.
Yeah. So how do you look back and define that? How do you know, kind of know where that was the first thing I wondered when I read that. Apparently you were sent outside to play. So it's not like it's measured by some metrics that the census operators are taking.
Right. I just knew it.
You lived it.
Yeah.
But then how far behind you do you think where that stopped? How did you figure that out? Did you ever see that in the community where you grew up?
Well, I have a strong recollection of, you know, when my family got our first computer and dialing up for internet and, you know, having to wait to download songs. I didn't get a cell phone until I was in college. I remember my dad having one of those big old car phones.
Yes.
With the big antenna.
Yes.
You know, so those are my memories, whereas it wasn't too many years behind me where that wasn't the case. I remember when my older brother went to college and didn't need a computer. And 4 years later, when I went to college, everyone had their own computers.
Did you have a landline in your college dorm room?
I did. And I was actually a tour guide in college. And I remember the first time someone asked me if our dorm buildings had Wi-Fi, and I had no idea what he was talking about.
What's Wi-Fi?
Right? Can you imagine now someone not knowing what Wi-Fi is?
No.
And my little flip phone, and you know, so I have all of those memories of that transition into this technological age. And so, whereas I had the childhood without that, kids don't have that anymore.
What I find interesting is that in 200 years, this era or this generation, or the fact that you and I are 15 years apart, no, it's not even going to be noticeable.
Right. You know, like
when we went from albums, records, to 8-tracks, to tapes, to CDs, to iPods, to digital music. I mean, it's really going to be looking back, like it all took 5 years.
Right. Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's kind of the way it'll be at as we do things that were 100 or 200 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we kind of sandwich them all in together.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, well, that just happened like in the 1840s or whatever. I'll tell you, in high school, me and my Prince Purple Rain before every basketball game. I'm on the bus, pump me up for basketball. That
right
that in my with my little tape, and I had to fast forward to listen to the next best song that I wanted to listen to.
Yep, you're recording it off of the radio, or
that from time to absolutely.
Yeah,
or tape to tape off of friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember getting my first CD player and being like, "This is amazing!"
And it was.
It was. I feel very fortunate that I had the childhood that I did have, where my parents could say, "Hey, get out of the house, go play outside." The land that I grew up on had been in my family for multiple generations, and so.
But a lot of acres, so you had land to go out and play on versus like a cul-de-sac or a neighborhood?
Absolutely. In the country, we had a bamboo forest next door where my great-great-great-something grandparents' house once stood. And, you know, their old cellar was there. And we had the junkyard kids where their house used to stand but had burnt down. And we used to find porcelain, and we called them artifacts, and you know, we used to dig for stuff, and I just had a magical childhood, and I'm so grateful for that. And I know that my brothers are as well, because my mom could be like, out of the house, go play, maybe come back for lunch, definitely for dinner, we'll see you then. And we did. We just went outside and we played and we used our imaginations.
From east to west, Triple C is the best. Na 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 na.
What makes Triple C Camp so special? It's the great staff that interact with your kids. It's the awesome skills that campers learn, such as communication, critical thinking, creativity, and problem solving. It's connecting with nature, and it's all part of the ultimate fun Triple C Camp experience. We at camp would love to have you and your family come out for a tour. Call us at 293-2529 and visit our website at triplecamp.com.
Na, 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 na.
This is Erin, and what's really neat is I can remember recording this song with my camp friends way back when. All of the special memories that have been made over the years, impacting the children's lives and making sure they're having a great time at Triple C Camp. Registration has begun and spots are filling fast. Learn more at triplecamp.com or give us a call at 293-2529.